In the years since the Taliban took control of Afghanistan, many LGBTQ Afghans have fled the country. Had they stayed, they would face sexual violence, torture, and death. One of those refugees is Kadir. We're withholding his real name for safety reasons. He's a bisexual man who now lives in Canada. Growing up in Afghanistan, Kadir was ostracized and harassed for his sexuality.
I was experienced depression because of the effects of my life in Afghanistan. When I was in the school, classmates are torturing me and using me physically or abuse me sexually.
When Kabul fell to the Taliban last August, Kadir was a student in Turkey, and he knew immediately it wouldn't be safe for him to return home when his visa expired.
I don't want to go back to Afghanistan, and that's a nightmare to me because my brother and my mother also bullying and torturing me in Afghanistan.
Accepting his LGBTQ status was not something his family could do. Terrified that he wouldn't be able to find a safe place to live, Kadir contemplated suicide. Luckily, he was able to receive asylum in Canada, where he says he can now live freely.
I'm very happy here and I can do whatever I want, and I feel very lucky that I came to Canada.
But many other LGBTQ Afghans are not as fortunate as Kadir. They're still trapped in Afghanistan and in tremendous danger. Bridget Crawford, legal director of Immigration Equality, an organization working with LGBTQ Afghan refugees, joins us now to tell us more. Bridget, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us how LGBTQ Afghans have been treated. What are things like for them now in Afghanistan?
You know, I think in a word, the situation is dire. One client, I'll call him Abdul just to protect his identity, but he had really been ostracized by his family for most of his life, even though he had never come out to them. He was sort of seen as not fitting in. He eventually met and fell in love with a neighbor and started a relationship with this neighbor in secret. And he sort of described this neighbor as his soulmate and told me of how they would meet sort of secretly between their houses and how they really saw each other as their only real support system. After the fall of Afghanistan, Abdul fled to a neighboring country with the intent of bringing, you know, his partner with him later. And then when Abdul got to the border, he called his partner, got no answer. So then he called his own family and learned that his partner was found out to be gay based on photos of the couple. And he was shot in the head on the spot by the Taliban. And instead of providing safety or support, his father told them that if the Taliban didn't kill Abdul, then his family would.
You know, I think, Bridget, it's such a hard thing for people to understand. You know, it's one thing to be persecuted by a political entity or a government. It's another thing by your own family, your own father.
We see that often in the context of LGBTQ refugees. Another client told a story about how when he was about 13 or 14, he was discovered with another boy. And in reaction, his father tried to drown him. And he survived, but then his family wouldn't accept him. He was forced to eat his meals with the dogs. Eventually, he ran away. But, you know, we worked on a refugee application for him. And as we worked on the application, he said to me at some point, "Can Canada find me a family?" And I thought maybe he meant, you know, a sponsor, because there are certain, you know, refugee programs where a private sponsor in certain countries might sponsor someone. But he literally meant,
a family. You know, I've over the past year, I've talked to many Afghan refugees here in California. If there's one thing I think that binds them all, it is an incredible closeness to their family and their extended family. And the hardest thing about leaving, even if they have their nuclear family with them, they're so worried about their parents. And I just wonder, you know, if you're LGBTQ and your own family is persecuting you, yet you still crave a family. You know, it seems like emotional support and counseling would be a really important thing for refugees coming out here.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's very complicated because LGBTQ Afghans also, many of them have been persecuted by family members, but are very close to other family members. A lot of our clients are desperately afraid for their sisters. So many people are still stranded in Afghanistan who want to escape. A lot of people who are LGBTQ have made it to surrounding countries where they're still in grave danger, Pakistan, United Arab Emirates, Iran.
And they're in refugee camps mostly, right?
Some are in refugee camps, and refugee camps are largely not safe if you're LGBTQ. We have a number of clients who were in a camp in the United Arab Emirates, and one was attacked, one was sexually assaulted, others just faced a lot of harassment and discrimination. And then some people are really by themselves. We had a young man in his early 20s who was desperately afraid when the Taliban took over. And so he was trying to make it out of the country to a neighboring country. He didn't have a visa, so paid a trafficker who put him in the trunk of a car, took him over the border, and the trafficker sexually assaulted the client. He was able to run away. But then he was in another country with no familial support, no support whatsoever. And so, yes, you know, matching people with mental health services is critically important. And I think that's true, too, even when someone is resettled in a safe third country.
I wanted to ask you about that. We've seen many Afghans come to the United States. Many of them are languishing. You know, they really haven't been given the support. They're facing racism and xenophobia and just the simple basics like a driver's license or, you know, help with learning English hasn't been provided. I'm wondering if you're LGBTQ and a refugee here, is it even harder?
To be honest, LGBTQ Afghans have largely been left out of the U.S. efforts. By and large, the people who were part of the Operation Allies Welcome were people who had connections to the U.S. government. We have dozens of clients that were resettled in Canada as part of basically a refugee sharing agreement between the U.S. and Canada. I think my question for the U.S., though, is why can't we figure out a way to do what Canada and the UK have done and prioritize LGBTQ Afghans?
It sounds a little bit like we're passing the buck if what you're saying is that the US has an agreement with Canada, a refugee sharing agreement. Are we sending all the LGBTQ Afghan refugees to Canada?
Well, I want to give the US government some credit here. There was an attempt to do something by the United States that theoretically should help people. And, you know, the U.S. said, listen, our systems are overburdened. We cannot adjudicate things quickly enough. But if you compare that to the response in the Ukraine, you can really see that where there is a will, there's a way. In a much shorter time frame, tens of thousands, I think between April and the end of June, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40,000 people from Ukraine had been either approved or relocated to the United States through a very similar program. And remarkably, in that program, there was no fee for the application. So, you know, again, there really seems to be a difference in the way that Afghan refugees are being treated.
Bridget Crawford is the legal director of Immigration Equality. We thank you so much for joining us, Bridget.
Thanks so much for having me.